Welcome to Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include persecution of Falun Gong raised at International Religious Freedom Summit. Persecution of Falun Gong spurs peaceful protests in Central and South America. Documentary Letter from Masanja, screened in Toronto Theatre. Ethnic Yi woman sentenced to 7 years for using banknotes bearing messages about Falun Gong. Tibetan schools in India welcome Falun Dafa. And widespread support for parade in Berlin calling for an end to the persecution of Falun Gong in China. Now for the stories.
Persecution of Falun Gong raised at International Religious Freedom Summit. At the United States Department of State's first ever Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom, held on July 24th through the 26th, 2018, three Falun Gong practitioners were invited to attend the first 2 days of events, which were open to religious groups and non-governmental organizations. Foreign ministers from more than 40 countries, along with representatives of civil society representatives from over 80 countries, attended the conference in Washington, D.C. Sam Brownback, U.S. Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom, said during the opening ceremony on July 24th that freedom of belief is a privilege from God, and that any place without freedom of belief could pose a threat to global peace, prosperity, and stability. He called for collaboration between government agencies and various organizations to curb such violations. Former Congressman Frank Wolf highlighted the suppression of Falun Gong in China, including the harvesting of organs from living practitioners. He called for people to listen to the voice of victims of religious persecution. Erping Zhang, the spokesperson for Falun Gong and one of the three practitioners who attended the conference, talked about the current situation practitioners are facing in China. He said the suppression has lasted 19 years. We hope the international society and organizations related to freedom of belief could pay attention to this. By working together, we can bring this atrocity to an end. Since Falun Gong was banned in China in 1999, the Department of State's reports on religious freedom have always listed it as a human rights violation. In its 2017 annual report, China was again in the Tier 1 list of countries of particular concern. The report highlights the persecution of Falun Gong, Christians, and other religious groups in China. During a recent interview, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo highlighted the importance of the conference. This is a big deal, and it is the first time the State Department has ever hosted such a gathering, said Pompeo. We want to make this administration to make religious freedom a true priority for the United States State Department in every interaction we have with our foreign partners.
Persecution of Falun Gong spurs peaceful protests in Central and South America. July 20, 2018 marks the 19th year since the persecution of Falun Gong began. This peaceful mind and body cultivation practice, introduced in China in 1992, is now embraced in every corner of the world. Sadly, Falun Gong has been under brutal persecution by the Chinese Communist regime in its country of origin. Falun Gong practitioners around the globe hold activities around this date each year to raise awareness of the brutalities taking place in China and to commemorate family members and friends who have died as a result of the persecution. This report covers recent events in Mexico, Brazil, and Peru. Practitioners in Mexico City gathered near Chinatown on July 21st to expose the brutal tortures used in the persecution and the Chinese government's crime of harvesting organs from living practitioners incarcerated for their faith. They also held a candlelight vigil to commemorate the practitioners who have died during the 19 years of persecution. Practitioners performed on waste drums and demonstrated the 5 Falun Gong exercises. They also handed out Falun Gong literature to passers-by to raise awareness of the persecution and to gather support to bring about its end. Practitioners in Lima, Peru, put up posters and banners on July 20th to raise awareness of the persecution. Besides talking to people about the benefits of the practice, they also exposed the Chinese regime's crime of harvesting organs from living Falun Gong practitioners and other prisoners of conscience for use in organ transplants. Many passers-by were drawn to the peaceful event by the exercise demonstration and the soothing music. They photographed the practitioners, read the posters, and asked questions to learn more about the practice and the 19-year-long persecution. Practitioners in Sao Paulo, Brazil, gathered at the Chinese consulate on the morning of July 20th and set up banners exposing the persecution in China. They did the exercises and handed out Falun Gong literature to passers-by, including information about the persecution. In the afternoon, practitioners held another event at Liberdade, where many Chinese people gather. They displayed posters in both Portuguese and Chinese and demonstrated the Falun Gong exercises. Practitioners talked to passers-by and exposed the atrocities committed by the Chinese regime in the persecution of Falun Gong. As night fell, the practitioners lit candles to remember their fellow practitioners who lost their lives in the persecution for refusing to renounce their belief. Many passers-by were drawn to the candlelight vigil and wanted to know more about the situation in China.
Documentary, Letter from Masangia, screened in Toronto Theater. The documentary Letter from Masangia was publicly screened at Hot Docs Ted Rogers Theater in Toronto, Canada, on July 21st through the 26th. Toronto was the first stop of the film's global release in theaters. The documentary begins with a handwritten letter found in a box of Halloween decorations purchased in a U.S. department store by Julie Keith, a woman in Oregon. The letter was a plea for help by a prisoner of conscience at the notorious Masangia forced labor camp in Shenyang, China. Keith posted the letter to social media, which soon led to worldwide media exposure of the story and set off a chain reaction that led China's re-education through forced labor system being abolished, at least in name, in 2013. The author of the letter, Mr. Sun Yi, had been detained at the labor camp for his belief in Falun Gong. He risked his life to get his story out to the world through the secret letter, and more recently risked his life again during the making of this documentary to further expose what has been happening in China. While under surveillance by the Chinese authorities, Sun Yi took video footage of his life in China and interviewed other former Masangia inmates. Along with his story, Sun Yi shared his drawings depicting the abuse he suffered and witnessed at the Masangia labor camp. Sam Oosterhoff, the youngest member of provincial parliament in Ontario, Canada, attended the screening to show his support. He said the values of Falun Dafa, truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, deserve to be celebrated, not persecuted. During the Q&A session following the film, MPP Oosterhoff asked Director Lee, "How were you able to get such footage showing things the CCP wants hidden?" Lee replied, "This is the most difficult movie I have ever produced because I couldn't go to China myself, and Sun Yi didn't know how to use the camera." Lee talked about how he communicated with Sun online and trained him to use the video equipment. He added, at the time of shooting, Sun himself was still in China. He was under great pressure and took great risks. Many viewers responded that they were moved by Sun's courage. Because no matter what kind of background or belief you have, when you see the story of Sun, I think you will be touched by his courage. In the 25th Film Festival held in Toronto in April of this year, Letter from Masangia stood out among the 247 films and was in the top 20 of the audience's favorite films at the festival.
Ethnic Yi woman sentenced to 7 years for using banknotes bearing messages about Falun Gong. An ethnic Yi woman in Chujing City was sentenced to 7 years in prison for paying for her groceries with banknotes bearing messages about Falun Gong. Falun Gong, a mind-body practice based on the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, has been persecuted by the Chinese Communist regime since July 1999. Many Falun Gong practitioners have been arrested and jailed for raising awareness of the persecution. Ms. He Lichun, 43, was seized on August 23, 2017, after a supermarket employee reported her for using banknotes with Falun Gong messages. Ms. He was strip-searched at the Liaolong police station. The police then interrogated her for several hours without giving her any food or water. When she asked for something to eat and drink, the interrogating officers called in a policewoman to try to strip-search her again. She firmly refused. The officers demanded that Ms. He take off her glasses. When she refused, they called in two younger policemen to cuff her hands behind her back before forcibly removing her glasses. They restrained her to a chair and didn't allow her to use the restroom that night. Her handcuffs weren't removed until the next morning. Five officers, three males and two females, from the Chilin District Police Department came to interrogate Ms. He on August 24, 2017. They forcibly took a DNA sample and photographed her. An officer grabbed Ms. He's right wrist so hard that he caused excruciating pain. He then held Ms. He down on the ground tightly and ordered other officers to tickle her, making her extremely uncomfortable. Another officer then grabbed her right thumb to take her fingerprints. Ms. He, an engineer, had bruises on her wrists, arms, left knee, and right leg afterwards. The bruises did not disappear until months later. This officer and another policeman came to the local detention center to interrogate Ms. He again on September 5th and 6th, 2017. They videotaped her and said they'd show her daughter, who was attending a boarding school out of town, how she was being interrogated. Ms. He was later sentenced to a 7-year prison sentence by the Chilin District Court. She is appealing her case.
Tibetan schools in India welcome Falun Dafa. An article by a Western practitioner who lives in India. I recently went to two northern mountainous states in India for 6 weeks. Most of the 23 different institutions I visited were schools, with the youngest kindergarten children being around 2 to 3 years old. I also went to two hostels, a college, and a private industrial training institute. The emphasis of this trip was on introducing Falun Gong to Tibetan schools. During the past 60 years, many thousands of Tibetan refugees have fled to India due to increasing repression and severe human rights abuses in Tibet. Most of them have remained in India. Many children were mesmerized by the posters and captions depicting the persecution that practitioners of Falun Dafa, including young children, face in China. One young girl looked at each picture for a long time. When talking about these human rights abuses and showing the posters, I noticed that some eyes were wet with tears falling silently or wiped away. Some of them could have been remembering the severe human rights violations the Tibetans have been facing, such as leaving behind family members and friends, who are often tortured or even killed. Their experiences are very similar to what Falun Dafa practitioners and many other people of different faiths suffer in China. Many Tibetans commented that concerning these atrocities, we both, Tibetans and Falun Dafa practitioners, are all sitting in the same boat. The many letters of appreciation I received express not only a deep appreciation of Falun Dafa, but oftentimes a clear understanding of the persecution as well. The principal of one school wrote me a letter and said, "These body and mind exercises that you demonstrated today will certainly help in the long run to promote a better society and a more harmonious world, as students are the seeds, and our future solely depends upon how we raise them and what values we teach them." A headmistress wrote, "We owe much appreciation and admiration for your work to promote these messages of peace and wellness, while also highlighting the cruel persecution of Falun Gong by the communist regime in China of their own people, much in the same line as they are persecuting Tibetans in Tibet. Since the first arrival of Tibetan refugees in India some 60 years ago, it became apparent that one of their most critical needs was finding a means to care for the many children who had been orphaned or separated from their families during the arduous escape from their homeland. The reason for establishing separate schools for Tibetans in India was to provide them with an excellent education and at the same time help preserve the Tibetan language and culture. All these ideas and initiatives and many more were suggested by Tibetans. India is a vast country with many different cultures, traditions, tribes, religions, castes, etc. Several practitioners in India had previously visited schools and universities and in the process taken many photos and received many letters of appreciation. In this vast country with so many young people, we hope to visit many more schools in different parts of India in the time to come.
Widespread support for parade in Berlin calling for an end to the persecution of Falun Gong in China. Falun Gong practitioners held a parade in Berlin on July 21st to condemn the 19-year-long persecution of Falun Gong in China. The parade also highlighted practitioners' peaceful resistance to the suppression and the beauty of this self-improvement cultivation practice. Led by the European Tianguo Marching Band, the procession included a group demonstrating the exercises, practitioners holding pictures of those who lost their lives as a result of the persecution, banners exposing the facts of the state-sanctioned forced organ harvesting, and a waste drum team. A candlelight vigil was held commemorating those who were tortured to death in the persecution. Two German parliament members sent letters of support. Parliament member Martin Patzelt thanked the practitioners for their contributions to the cause of justice. He said there was no excuse for the persecution or the forced organ harvesting. He hopes that the Chinese government will recognize the positive impact that Falun Gong practitioners have on society and stop the persecution. Many people took information as well as videos and pictures. A lot of Chinese tourists were glad to see such a large-scale Falun Gong parade in Germany. Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.